With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I'm joined, as always, by Mike Tagliere, and you can find us on Twitter at KyleYNFL and at MikeTaglierNFL. Tags, I was thinking about this earlier, man. I miss NFL games being played. The XFL or just watching countless hours of tape really isn't cutting it anymore.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I haven't watched a single down of XFL football, and I feel kind of left out because there's people talking about it all over the place, but I'm so engulfed in the college stuff right now and going through the NFL draft, trying to nail that. But the truth of the matter is nobody's going to nail the NFL draft. Every year it happens, we feel like we have a great grip on, you know, the depth charts and what teams need. And then there's something that happens and you're just like, oh, there goes everything. And you just kind of throw your papers up in the air. But I'm trying to do my best to stick to the NFL here. And so unfortunately, I haven't watched XFL. But I know this happens every single year where it gets preseason, right? And we're like, oh, football's back on. And then you're just like, you can't wait to see the starters for all four quarters. So I'm fully aware of where you're at mentally.
Yeah, completely. Well, hey, we have one of my favorite guys in the industry on today's show. That's Jason Moore of the Fantasy Footballers. You can find him on Twitter at JasonFFL. Jason, long time no talk, man.
Yeah, it's been a while. Congratulations on being here with Fantasy Pros. That's pretty cool. Happy to join you.
Absolutely, man. Well, thank you. Well, hey, guys, we've got an awesome show lined up today as we take a look into some of these free agents that are about to hit the market and what it can mean for fantasy football. Before we do that, though, I did want to clarify the schedule a bit here. So free agency officially opens at 4 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, March 18th. However, we know that that's not when these deals are being announced. That's when they can be officially signed, of course, but the legal tampering period begins Monday the 16th at noon. So teams are already discussing terms with these free agents, even though they're not supposed to be. So deals break pretty quickly after that, the 16th at noon Eastern. So that's when you want to be paying attention and following along with us on social media for instant reactions and all that. Before we move ahead, though, I need to tell you all about this awesome contest we're doing. Right now, thanks to Pristine Auction, we're giving away a signed Marquise Brown Ravens helmet. All you have to do is go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and leave a review. Then take a screenshot of that review and email it to contest@fantasypros.com. It's that simple. For more details, head over to fantasypros.com/contest. And again, a huge thank you to Pristine Auction for making that possible. Speaking of Pristine Auction, I want to make sure that we take a second to thank them for sponsoring today's podcast. Their daily auctions have hundreds of signed memorabilia items to choose from that you are going to want to check out. I was taking a look at some recent items that went, and I couldn't believe some of the prices. A Derrick Henry signed jersey went for $65. A Kenny Golladay signed jersey went for only $49. Pristine Auction is the place to go to get your signed, authentic memorabilia of your favorite players at unbelievably affordable prices. It's quick and free to register, so head over to pristineauction.com. That's PristineAuction.com. And when registering, enter in Fantasy Pros, all one word, in the registration code field to receive a $5 credit for your first order. Again, that's PristineAuction.com to start building your dream man cave today. All right, guys, let's talk about these upcoming free agents. So I have Tags' free agency primer up in front of me, which you should go check out on fantasypros.com if you haven't already. And we're just going to run down this list, give our predictions, and talk about the fantasy impacts of each of these guys. So let's start here at running back, and we'll go right with Melvin Gordon here. So Tags, Melvin Gordon's kind of the headliner of this class. There's a couple other guys that we want to talk about, of course, at the top. But Melvin Gordon, the first name that I wanted to bring up here, what should we be aware of with Melvin Gordon, and where could he potentially end up?
I mean, if you're in a dynasty league, right, I would attempt to trade Melvin Gordon right now because I think there's a lot of people expecting him to kind of just walk into a workhorse gig. Some people are pointing at Miami. And I mean, if you think about it from a Melvin Gordon standpoint, you're probably getting your last big contract here. Do you think Miami has a chance to win? Probably not. They're in a rebuild mode. He's going to be 27 years old in April. So he's probably looking for a team that he has a chance to win on, but also a team that pays them. It doesn't make any sense for someone like Miami to pay someone like Melvin Gordon because they're not in a win right now scenario, so why pay him a lot of money? My prediction, and I'm curious what you guys think about this, is the Bills. I do feel like this is a team that wants to run the ball a lot, and I know Devin Singletary looked good down the stretch. They used him in a bit of more of a workhorse role, but I think that's more to do with the fact that Frank Gore is a one-trick pony. He's a 3 to 4 yard guy. He's not going to do a whole lot for you. He was decent on the goal line, and that's why they kept removing Singletary. Melvin Gordon, if there's one thing that we do know, it's that he's fantastic around the goal line. He can, you know, handle 15 touches per game. He could be a great timeshare running back with someone like Devin Singletary and complement him. So that's actually my prediction of where he goes. But I do, in the end, believe this is going to hurt his dynasty stock. So if you can trade him now before we find out where he lands, I would do that.
Yeah, Jason, with Melvin Gordon here, what are your thoughts and where do you think he could end up?
Yeah, usually with a guy like that, you know, or pretty much anyone that is a free agent, I think that the buzz happens far more after they sign the big contract. You know, so personally, I would be trading Melvin Gordon because he's not going to be what he used to be, but I would wait until after he signs because he's going to sign a big contract with someone, and then the hype and the buzz will get going. But a lot of times, free agents that move teams, because it's the off season, all the media exposure goes to, all the hype gets surrounded, but it usually doesn't come to fruition for a lot of free agent switching teams. Personally, I've actually got a destination somewhat similar to the Bills in the sense that there's already a guy there, right? Devin Singletary, but it's a team that wants to run the ball. I've got the Detroit Lions, someone that was kind of in the mix when they were talking about trade rumors last year. Look, I am the biggest Kerryon Johnson truther in the world, but the guy hasn't been able to stay healthy. The Lions want to be able to run the ball. They have the cap space. And, you know, I hate to say this for all the Lions fans out there, but I think that Melvin Gordon doesn't go to a super well-run organization. I say that just because you're going to have to pay this man a lot of money, and we know in today's NFL, you shouldn't pay running backs a lot of money. So Lev Bell goes to the Jets, you know, and I think Melvin Gordon's going to end up – I would love to see Melvin Gordon, you know, go take that Houston role or that Tampa Bay Buccaneers role, but I think he ends up in a worse spot, so I'm going with the Lions.
Yeah, it's an interesting location, especially with Kerryon still there. If that were to be the case, and you have him landing in Detroit, and you have Kerryon Johnson, and you have Melvin Gordon there, how are you treating the two of them? Are they kind of just canceling each other out from a fantasy football perspective?
Yeah, not great, Bob, would be the answer. I think if you pay him what you'd have to pay him to get him, I think that would relegate Kerryon to more of the backup role, and Melvin Gordon would get the work, but I mean, look, we haven't seen a successful Lions fantasy running back in forever, and yeah, it would very much hurt his stock. So I guess if my prediction is correct that he would go to the Lions, then Tags' recommendation to trade him now would probably be apt.
Yeah, it's definitely a roll of the dice because especially with this draft class too and some of the other names here that we'll get to in this running back class, the landing spots may not be great for these guys. And I think Melvin Gordon certainly hurt his chances of getting that big contract, sitting out, you know, and holding out into this past season. And then now we just saw Austin Eckler sign that extension. So he looks to be like the main guy there in Los Angeles for the Chargers. So I think it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. But just like Tags and Jason alluded to here, I doubt Melvin Gordon's going to be seeing the type of value that he had. The only place where I could see him holding value would be if he signs with Houston. Houston is in need of a running back, but I'm just not sure if they're going to be spending that big money there to get him. So let's move on here to another top name here at the running back position. We've got Derrick Henry. So Derrick Henry, the tags, is Derrick Henry going to receive the franchise tag here, or is he walking? And if he does, where are some locations that he could end up?
I really think it's idiotic to use a franchise tag on a running back. I'm just going to be honest about it. And Derrick Henry, while he fits the scheme and what they want to do, do I think that there's other guys that can maybe replace him on that team? Yeah, I do. Do I think that Derrick Henry is going to pick up in 2020 if he returns to the Titans and produce like he did towards the end of 2019? No, I don't. I feel like he's a guy that was he had a managed workload throughout the season. And then like as the rest of the NFL kind of broke down, Derrick Henry just got stronger. They even gave him a week off. I think it was like week 15 where basically they called it a hamstring injury, but I think it was more like, let's get this kid prepared for the playoffs because they were set to make a push. But Derrick Henry, my prediction is the Texans, but I do know that the Titans want to resign him, but the issue with Derrick Henry right now is that he said the Ezekiel Elliott contract was a baseline for him. He wants $90 million plus, and he wants at least $50 million guaranteed. That is the most idiotic thing I've ever heard to pay a two-down running back. And yes, I said two-down. Can he catch passes? I mean, yeah, but is he a liability in the passing game? He kind of is. And while I do think that that's overrated at times because people did it with Leonard Fournette, Derrick Henry actually is a liability, but they need they're not a team that uses their running backs in the passing game a whole lot. Another team that doesn't do that is the Texans, and that's why I think he actually fits in with the Texans quite a bit. They have the wide receivers there. He's not going to see loaded fronts. They don't use their running backs in the passing game a whole lot, so Derrick Henry would be facing seven-man boxes a lot, even though it's not a great offensive line. It would be an ideal situation for him. So I think it's either the Titans or the Texans. Would I be surprised if the Titans? No, but I don't think that they should franchise tag him.
Yeah, I put this tweet out a while back, this stat, including high school, college, and the NFL, Derrick Henry has now carried the ball 2,803 times, and this is 87 carries less than the NFL careers of DeMarco Murray and Reggie Bush combined. So this is insane work. And you know, just carry counts on a body. Yes, Derrick Henry has the size to be able to withstand it, but we're still talking about an astronomical number there. I don't see an NFL team really shelling out a ton of money for him. Jason, do you kind of see it in the same way? Where could we be seeing Derrick Henry that makes sense?
Well, I've got the same two teams that Tags does. I think it's a, you know, an interdivisional race here between the Texans and the Titans. I do think the Titans could very well utilize the franchise tag. While that should be in their pocket for Ryan Tannehill, seems like they're legitimately wanting to make a run after Tom Brady, and they need to ensure that, you know, that centerpiece of that offense is there if Brady were to come. That would utilize the franchise tag there. If Derrick Henry's back, look, statistically, you know, we do all the analysis and analytics and things that say that, you know, look, he doesn't catch the ball enough. He's touchdown dependent, all of these things. But I do think Derrick Henry is a slight outlier, you know, as a human being. And so, yeah, he's got a lot of volume on the legs, but there aren't two Derrick Henrys out there. He truly is just a freak of nature. I remember at the combine, you know, it was like Von Miller and him are the only guys that were that big and could move like that. And, you know, so I believe he's going to be successful for fantasy on either one of those teams. It would make sense. I'm not a pay the running back type of guy, but it would be interesting if the Texans were to shell out that big money for him because of the fact that not only are you filling a massive hole and, you know, you pair him with Deshaun Watson and the rest of that offense, and all of a sudden you've got a really strong offense. But you're destroying your biggest competition in the division, because I do think that the way the Titans are built, if they lose Derrick Henry, now they've got an identity crisis. So those are the two teams that I think are interesting. I'm going to be interested in Derrick Henry for fantasy next year either way, much to my own chagrin of, you know, what should happen statistically speaking versus what I think will actually happen, because I do view Derrick Henry as an outlier.
Let's just call it, let's say he ends up with the Texans. So Tags, Derrick Henry with the Texans, where are we drafting him, you know, in let's go half PPR leagues next year?
I'd have him right in Nick Chubb territory, kind of like that top of the second round, because again, he's not going to be using the passing game a whole lot, and that's why I refuse to use a first round pick on Derrick Henry. Some people think I'm crazy because I won't rank him in that first round, just because when I draft someone in the first round, I want someone that's going to give me a floor, a stable floor every single week. And I don't think Derrick Henry does that. I think it's he has to score a touchdown. He has to break one of those long runs. And he does it more often than not, sure. But I don't think that he gives me the floor that I want, especially if I'm playing in a PPR format.
Well, the interesting thing is that Derrick Henry, I think, has a safe floor because of his increased carry counts. However, that's with the Titans. We don't know what that's going to be like with another team. And so we could, it's a roll of the dice, just like with Melvin Gordon. Is a team that brings him in, depending on the contract too, is a team that brings him in going to be committed to giving him the ball 20 plus times a game? We just don't know. All right, let's transition here. Jason, one of the guys that you, I know, are a big fan of with the Arizona Cardinals, Kenyon Drake, saw him come over this past year and make an impact for fantasy football right out of the gate. So I'm going to toss this to you first. Kenyon Drake, does he stay with the Cardinals? Where else could we see him land?
Yeah, there's definitely going to be suitors out there for Kenyon Drake, unrestricted free agent. But I believe he does end up back with the Cardinals, even if David Johnson is still here. Obviously, Chase Edmonds is under contract. Steve Keim, the general manager for the Arizona Cardinals, he gave up more than he should have for a 4 or 5 week rental of a running back for a team that was going nowhere. I mean, I'm an Arizona native, an Arizona Cardinals fan, sadly, and it was so upsetting. And I love Kenyon Drake. I've loved him since he came out. I was always upset at Adam Gase not giving him the ball more, because when he did, he was excellent. And so was he worth that draft pick trade? Sure, talent-wise, but it made no sense for the team that could really use a draft pick this year. But my point in believing he comes back to the Cardinals is that I think Steve Keim wants to double down on proving that he was correct. And if he lets Kenyon Drake walk, who came in and was perfect for the system with Cliff Kingsbury, then Steve Keim takes the L, and I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to pay a lot of money to Kenyon Drake, and we're just going to have more bad contracts on the Arizona Cardinals. That being said, if Kenyon Drake is back with the Cardinals and David Johnson is in tow, I believe we saw at the end of last year, it will be Kenyon Drake's team. David Johnson will get more involved in the passing game, but the system fits Kenyon Drake. David Johnson does not fit this system very well. And you know, David Johnson has insinuated as much that he misses Bruce Arians' system that he was such a good fit for, and by implying that, he is basically saying this isn't the best fit for him the way that they run the scheme.
Sure, yeah. Tags, do you have kind of the same thoughts there? Are you seeing him land with the Cardinals?
I do. I think it's in both their best interest, and Kenyon Drake showed up week after week. No matter what happened in Miami, what the reason was that he wasn't getting all the touches he was, he found a home there with Kingsbury, and I don't think he wants to take the chance that stuff is going to happen again. It seems like a match made in heaven, and when they made that trade for Drake, everyone said, oh, this is a rent-a-player. I'm like, it doesn't sound, and I'm with Jason on this, it didn't sound like a rent-a-player situation for what they gave up. So Kingsbury obviously felt it was necessary to do this, and I do anticipate him coming back to the Cardinals. They have the cap room to do it. There's rumors that they might cut David Johnson. I don't see that happening, because it's actually more expensive for them to cut him, even though some are trying to make a case for them to do that. But David Johnson, I thought, could actually help fill like a slot role if Larry Fitzgerald were going to retire. But Fitzgerald is obviously coming back for another year. And I do want to actually bring, speaking of older guys, like it just made me think Frank Gore, Larry Fitzgerald. But remember, guys, during this legal tampering period that starts on Monday, as Kyle was talking about, if you hear about a deal, it's not finalized until the 18th. And players can change their mind. If you guys remember a couple of years ago, Frank Gore was supposed to sign with the Philadelphia Eagles. We heard all about it. And then all of a sudden, a day later, they sign Ryan Matthews, and Frank Gore decides, I don't want to go there. And then he ends up signing with the Colts when he's able to sign. So just because we hear of something doesn't mean it's finalized. It typically does, but I just wanted to make sure I brought that up. So for whatever reason, Larry Fitzgerald made me do that.
Yeah, it's a really good point and a really good thing to remember that it's not set in stone until those deals are officially signed. So, all right, guys, I want to talk about a few of these lower tier guys, the running back position. I'm just going to kick it really quick. So Lamar Miller, Tags, is he going to be fantasy relevant in 2020?
I mean, he could be a guy like a Chris Thompson type player where it's like he's going to get 8 to 12 touches per game in a timeshare. That's why my prediction is to the Buccaneers. I feel like he would be a great complement to Ronald Jones. And if Ronald Jones goes in the doghouse, they know they have Lamar Miller. But I think Miller's better suited in a timeshare. And like if you go back to his Miami days, he was much more efficient with his touches. So I love the landing spot of the Bucs.
Jason, Carlos Hyde here. We saw him do some good things there in Houston last year. Is he going to be fantasy relevant in 2020, and where could he end up?
No, I don't think he's going to be fantasy relevant. The only way that he could be is if he were to re-sign with the Texans and they don't bring in another running back and they stay status quo, and then he will be as fantasy relevant as he was this last year. The last couple of years, he's bounced around from team to team. Not being very active in the passing game has hurt him with certain schemes like Kansas City. So both him, Lamar Miller, once these guys are up in age with the incoming flux of rookie running backs, you know, it's not out of the question that they end up on no team. So I don't see Carlos Hyde being fantasy relevant in 2020.
Yep, same here. So the one guy that I did want to spend a little bit more time on is Jordan Howard. So Jordan Howard, we see him in Chicago for a few years. He gets traded to Philadelphia, and then now we see him hitting the open market here. Depending on his health, I think he can be a great bargain sign for an NFL team who, let's say Tennessee does let Derrick Henry walk. They can go right to Jordan Howard and bring him in because we know he can carry the load. Kind of fits the same skill set. Obviously not the same size as Derrick Henry, but the same skill set there. So Jordan Howard here, I wanted to talk about him. Tags, I'll go to you first and then Jason here. Jordan Howard, where could he end up and how fantasy relevant could he be?
Yeah, my prediction is the Titans, actually. I think he would be the logical replacement to Derrick Henry, and they could draft someone as well and just kind of establish some depth because, as we all know, Deion Lewis hasn't really worked out, and he might be a cap casualty. So, there's plenty of reason to think that the Titans might be. The Eagles make tons of sense, right? Because he knows the system. He's played in the system his entire career, because even going back to Chicago days, it's like, well, I shouldn't say his entire career. Matt Nagy, he played in that offense, and he goes to Peterson's, all under that Andy Reid-type offense, but he needs to go to an offense that obviously isn't going to utilize him very much in the passing game. But that's the part that worries me about Jordan Howard, is that why haven't the Eagles been willing to talk to him about keeping him on board? I know they only gave up a 6th-round pick to get him from the Bears, but at the same time, if they knew he was healthy, there was that shoulder neck issue that caused him to miss the final 7 games of the regular season, and then they didn't give him a single touch in the playoff game, even though he was active. So I kind of worry about his health, and I don't know if the Eagles know something that everybody else doesn't, because why wouldn't they have talked to him and tried to extend him even for maybe 2 years?
Yeah, Jason, what are your thoughts there with Jordan Howard?
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with the fears of the health issues that the Eagles have the inside scoop on. The one nice thing is that the Eagles have a pretty long history of just not wanting to pay up for their running backs. They prefer cheaper options, like getting Jordan Howard for a 6th-round pick. And once it's time for him to get a contract, they'll just say, okay, go get one. Good luck, buddy, and we'll find someone else super cheap or draft another rookie. You know, what is surprising to me is Jordan Howard, wherever he goes, he's going to be better than we think he is, because he doesn't catch the ball. He's getting older. You know, it's kind of fun to be down on Jordan Howard. I've done it many a time, but then wherever he is, he's just a solid running back. He's pretty good. So he's not going to be a fantasy superstar, but I do think he will outperform whatever projection. You know, if he goes where I was saying Melvin Gordon was going to go and it ends up at the Lions, nobody's going to want him there. But he'll have his purpose. And, you know, especially if you're in a deep league, a dynasty league, where you've got multi-flexes, you're going to have plenty of weeks where you're starting Jordan Howard and you're happy that you did so.
Absolutely. Complete agreement there. Before moving on, I want to tell you about Bespoke Post. Bespoke Post has upgraded my everyday life thanks to their monthly box of awesome. Every month, this box has all the best or most stylish goods you can ask for. Whether you're into celebrating a big moment by cooking up an amazing meal, or it's date night and you want to look and smell your best, Box of Awesome has you covered. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gears, Box of Awesome has carefully built collections for every part of your life. I love the Refresh Box. It gave me all the grooming gear I need to look sharp. The Daily Refresh Bar, toothpaste, and face cleanser help me look and feel clean and polished. The Double Hitter Shampoo and Conditioner keeps my hair shiny and smelling fresh, and the Construction Paste Mesh Styler allows me to style my hair as I see fit. The Gastronomy Box is another great box too. This thing will have you making culinary masterpieces in no time. It comes with a DVD that has over 50 recipes, along with all the tools, additives, and instructions you need to make cooking a breeze. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com, and your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel at any time. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code FANTASYPROS at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code FANTASYPROS for 20% off your first box. All right, let's transition over here to wide receivers. I want to knock one name off the list here before we dive in further. That's AJ Green. Are we all in agreement here that AJ Green is staying in Cincinnati with that franchise tag?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. So then, all right, so we won't talk about him. Let's dive right in here to Amari Cooper. It's looking unlikely. I think they're working on it, but it's looking unlikely that Amari Cooper is back in Dallas next year. So what are our thoughts here on Amari Cooper, and where could he end up? Tags, I'll go to you first.
This is crazy, first off, that Amari Cooper has a potential to hit the open market after what Dallas gave up to get him. I know people were mocking that at the time. I wasn't one of them. I loved Amari, and I still do. And he's one of those guys where I would actually be open to trading for Amari Cooper right now in Dynasty, you know, as opposed to Melvin Gordon doing it, trading him before we find out landing spot, because there's just only so many openings. Amari has only seen 107 and 119 targets over the last 2 years, so it's not like he's been heavily targeted. He has done a lot with those targets, so it's like he can. I only see him if a team were to sign him. My prediction is the Colts, and the reason I say the Colts is because Amari traditionally over the course of his career has done better in domes, and I think that comes down to the footing that he gets in the dome on the AstroTurf. So if he goes to a team like the Colts, he's going to play in a dome 8 times at home obviously at home, and then they're going to play against Houston at least once a year. That's another game, so we have at least 9 of the 16 games in a dome, if not more. So I love that about it, and I also believe that if the Colts, this is a preview into the quarterbacks portion of the show, is that if they're going to go after Phillip Rivers, like I think most people would expect them to, I do believe they're going to have to entice him and say, hey, we're not only going to grab you, we're going to get you a receiver. We're going to get you Amari Cooper, because T.Y. Hilton's in the final year of his contract. He's also getting up there in age. Paris Campbell obviously had some issues staying healthy last year, but he's not your alpha wide receiver. Amari Cooper would walk in. He would be fantastic. He can move around. He can play the slot. He can play the perimeter. Anywhere that they would want him in Frank Reich's offense. I love the fit, and I would love it, obviously, if they brought Rivers there as well. So if he does not stay with the Cowboys, I think the Colts are my top pick. And if not the Colts, maybe the Eagles. Maybe he stays in the division because they could really use someone like him. But the Colts make a lot of sense to me with all the cap space they have.
Yeah, I'll say with the Colts too, it makes sense with their team building. With Chris Ballard, they've been committed to building through the draft, but now they've got the foundation, right? And then from here, they have tons and tons of cap room. So now it's, okay, let's bring in maybe one or two big pieces and let's make a push here. Let's surround Jacoby Brissett if he is the quarterback, or if it's Phillip Rivers or whoever they may have under center next year. Let's build this up and let's get this going. So Jason, with Amari Cooper there, do you have the Colts as the prediction, or do you have someone else in mind?
I think the Colts make sense for every reason you're saying. I actually have them staying in division and with the Eagles also in the running. They certainly need to get younger at wide receiver and better, but I think that the Washington Redskins are a team that can't be ignored either. Whenever you've got a young quarterback, usually that second year, you go out and you try to get them a weapon. You say, okay, we want to set our rookie that we just picked up for success. They're the type that will spend money. At the end, if I had to put odds on prediction, I still think he somehow ends up back with the Cowboys. Jerry Jones will make the money work for every big superstar and let a lot of really good, solid, lesser-named players walk.
Redskins is an interesting one that I haven't really thought much about, but I do like that. You have Terry McLaurin and you have Amari Cooper there for Dwayne Haskins. Yeah, I like that. All right, guys, the next kind of top guy here that could command big money is Robbie Anderson. It looks like they're engaging in talks of him staying in New York, which I'm not a huge fan of, but I wanted to bring him up here and let's talk about him. So Jason, I'll go to you first here with Robbie Anderson. Is this a player that if he does sign with, you know, with an NFL team that their fans should be excited about, and where could he end up?
Yeah, I think the fans should be excited. I mean, whenever you've got a burner who's proven he can get it done in the NFL, granted in small bursts, I think you're excited for that. I've got him going to the Eagles, similar to what Tags was saying. They need a young, fast guy. D-Jax is 33 and hasn't been able to, you know, play a full season in about 6 seasons. So Robbie Anderson, to me, makes sense as a guy to bring in. I hope he does leave. Usually when I'm looking at free agents in general and specifically at wide receivers, I prefer they stay where they are. So many times, big-name wide receivers, they change teams, and they don't up their draft capital. They don't up their fantasy production. Usually it falters, and but in this case, I feel like getting away from Adam Gase, who I am not a fan of, would benefit Robbie Anderson. The Eagles definitely will be going out and getting a wide receiver, and there's just not that many options, right? You got Amari Cooper, Robbie Anderson. You're going to be bringing up other names from here on out about wide receiver free agents, and they're not good names.
Yeah, tags with Robbie Anderson. Where do you see him landing?
I mean, I had the Packers down, but if I can go back in time and change my prediction in the article, I would say the Jets, because out of his mouth is that they're engaging in long-term contracts, and it sounds like they're pretty close, and this deal might get done. And it's funny because a lot of people have been waiting for Robbie Anderson to hit the open market, saying that he could do so much more elsewhere. And my comment to that was that I don't believe that he puts I don't see the effort on the field all the time out of him. I basically see him take plays off consistently. And a lot of people combated me on that and said, well, maybe it's because he played for Adam Gase and he played for the Jets. And I'm like, well, your argument doesn't hold any water if he signs a long-term deal with them, because obviously that doesn't matter. No matter who you are, no matter what job you do, no matter what your boss does to you, you should be doing your best at your job every single day, and that's all you can do. And if Robbie Anderson's out there taking plays off because he plays for the Jets, well, then he shouldn't play for the Jets anymore, and he should try and go somewhere else. But if it's my franchise, I don't want someone that's taking plays off, no matter where he's at, because it's your job to go out there and play football. I believe Robbie Anderson is a good field stretcher. I think he makes sense for the Packers in kind of like that Jordy Nelson role. He's not as smart as Jordy Nelson as a route runner, but he has the speed to stretch the field opposite Devontae Adams. And the Packers need to surround Aaron Rodgers with some better weapons. They cannot sit here and rely on Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Geronimo Allison and Alan Lazard. You know, like, these names are they're just guys. And I think we've gotten to the point in Rodgers' career where he's unwilling to take chances. So he needs to find guys that can gain some separation. And Robbie Anderson is able to do that when he puts forth the effort. He is a good football player when he puts forth the effort. It's just that's inconsistent. If I could say on the show, I'm going to say that I think he re-signs with the Jets, but if not the Jets, the Packers.
I recently acquired Robbie Anderson in a dynasty league, my main dynasty league, and when that news came out that he was probably re-signing with the Jets, I was heartbroken because I think he makes a ton of sense for the Houston Texans. Will Fuller has not been able to stay healthy, but however, when he's been on the field in that role, we've seen the effect that it's taken on the offense. And so for me, Robbie Anderson made a ton of sense to fill that Will Fuller role. The Texans could actually move on from Fuller with a very, very minimal, if anything, cap hit if they wanted to. And so for me, Anderson makes a ton of sense there if he doesn't resign with the New York Jets. All right, so again, Jason, you alluded to it. There's not a ton of like great names here at the wide receiver position for the remainder of free agency. So I'll just do this. We'll do these really quick. Jason, Emmanuel Sanders looks like he's not going to resign with the San Francisco 49ers. Where could he end up? And if so, is he fantasy relevant there?
Yeah, I still think he could end up with the 49ers, but maybe I'm missing something. I would say the Eagles or the Patriots are teams that need a guy. This just seems like, you know, one of those you sign with the Patriots if Brady's back and then don't end up doing anything and are pretty much not part of a team after midway in the season.
Yeah. Emmanuel Sanders makes a ton of sense for the Patriots. They're just needing to add weapons. For me, the Raiders also make sense because they just need wide receiver help going into the draft. Tags, Breshad Perriman here. We saw him play really well down the stretch last season, and he now hits the free agent market after a really odd NFL career to this point. So could Breshad Perriman end up anywhere that could be fantasy relevant? Is he going to get the money that's going to demand that?
I don't think so. I mean, with the draft class that we have coming in, it's the same thing with the running backs, right? It's like free agents, and I think everybody knows as the years go on, we're seeing less and less free agents become like major, like huge acquisitions. I remember even when Alshon Jeffrey signed his contract in free agency, I was kind of like, wow. He didn't get as much money as I thought he would. And I think it's moving more towards that because you're seeing more and more young guys come in and produce. Like, you don't have to wait so many years for a wide receiver to produce anymore. And people are starting to catch on. And this is known as like a big time wide receiver class. So I don't think Breshad Perriman, anybody's going to like heavily invest in him. You might find a team that's a little strapped for cash, trying to find a field stretcher that they can get at somewhat of a discount. Ideally, he'd probably stay with the Bucs. I mean, I think he fits the role that they want alongside Mike Evans and Godwin. But I thought again, this is back when I wrote this, is that I felt like he was a logical replacement for someone like Robbie Anderson, because Anderson wasn't getting massive targets there, but he was there as the field stretcher on the Jets, and he would go to be tied to Sam Darnold and maybe develop into more than just that situational deep threat like he was over the like final five games with the Bucs, because he totaled 70 yards in each of the last five games, including three 100-yard games to close it out. I think, actually, if you go look at it, from when he entered the starting lineup, I think he was the best fantasy wide receiver, if I'm not mistaken, which is kind of weird. But yeah, I think the teams that I have potential suitors for him are the Bucks, the Jets, the Chargers, now that they let go of Travis Benjamin, and the Panthers, because they could use a bigger body field stretcher outside of like DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, for sure. And just to wrap up the wide receivers here, these are some of the other names that are on the market that we're not going to talk about. Devin Funchess, Josh Gordon, Paul Richardson, Taylor Gabriel, Randall Cobb, Travis Benjamin, Geronimo Allison, Nelson Aguilar, and Philip Dorsett. You can see why we are not going to spend much time talking about these guys. Before we continue talking about free agents, I wanted to take a quick second and make sure that you're aware of where you can find and follow us on social media. Head over to Twitter and Instagram to find us at Fantasy Pros for interesting free agency related content. And follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Pros NFL for the latest and breaking free agency news. All right, so we're going to switch here and we're going to go to quarterbacks. This is potentially one of the most interesting free agent quarterback classes in history. Now, obviously, it starts here with the biggest name, I believe the greatest quarterback of all time. It's Tom Brady. There is a real possibility that he could be leaving the New England Patriots after 20 years, which is insane to even say. So, Tags, I'm just going to kick this over to you first. He's the first domino to fall. Everything in free agency is going to halt until we see Tom Brady go somewhere. So, Tags, Tom Brady, is he returning to the Patriots?
I think he does. I think this is all like a media thing that people are driving up, trying to draw interest in it. And Brady himself has not come out and said anything. He would say, look, I'm going to test free agency and see where things go. He is not. He's this is a Patriots game. Like, and it was funny. I was listening to Pat McAfee a short while ago, and he was like, look, when people have conversations with Bill Belichick, it's like, hey, you can go somewhere else and you can make some money. You got plenty of money. Or you could stay here and win a championship. And it's not to say that Brady can win now. At 43 years old, going to a new team to learn a new system and work with new receivers, it makes absolutely zero sense. What does make sense is them to say, you know, we're going to grab you a wide receiver, whether it be the draft or a free agent. I believe that Emmanuel Sanders, Jason, you said it, is that Emmanuel Sanders would fit well in that offense. He could play both on the perimeter and the slot. That they're going to get him some guys, maybe a tight end. We're going to talk about those in a little bit. That can help provide him some pass catchers and maybe an offensive lineman in the draft. So I do believe Brady's coming back. I think that all of this is smoke.
Jason, with Tom Brady, are you kind of in the same boat or do you see him going somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to put like Vegas odds, I would certainly say New England is the odds on favorite. But prior to the, I mean, we were still at the very beginning of the playoffs last year when, you know, I really thought there was something to Tom Brady going to the Titans. Since that time, you know, there's been more rumors. I think, you know, reuniting with Vrabel, if you look at what he did with his contract the year prior to give himself for the first time pretty much in his career the ability to become a free agent, there had to be some purpose to it. So I think him leaving is legitimate. I don't think it's certainly way too much media hype. You know, it's the off season and we need stories to tell. So that's making it bigger than it is, but I do think he's going to look at other teams, and it makes sense, right? You've got AJ Brown and Corey Davis, his old Deion Lewis, a great offensive line and a run game, a defense. I mean, this was a team that was already on the precipice, and you know, he thinks he could probably come in and win a championship. And if I'm Brady, and I think, oh, is Brady made by Belichick? Is Belichick made by Brady? If I go win a Super Bowl somewhere else, it's me. So, you know, I don't know that that's where he's at, but I'm going to put him on the Titans just for the domino effect of watching the world burn.
It would burn, that's for sure.
It definitely would. So let's stick here for a second. So let's say they franchise tag Derrick Henry. They let Ryan Tannehill walk. They bring in Tom Brady. What does this do for AJ Brown and Corey Davis, or the pass catching options there? Is there a big difference from a fantasy perspective with Tom Brady throwing versus Ryan Tannehill? Tags, I'll go to you first and then Jason.
it certainly wouldn't hurt. I mean, I think that there would be a lot more dominoes that would fall when it came to, like, you know, what running back they're going to bring in. Are they going to bring Derrick Henry back? Because Tom Brady does love to use his running backs in the swing patterns. Would they hang on to Deion Lewis? Yeah, probably they would, because it would make sense knowing the familiarity with Tom Brady and the fact that he can catch passes, and they haven't really utilized the running backs in the passing game to this point. Brady is who he is, and he's not going to, it's almost like a Peyton Manning situation where he's not going to walk in, he's not going to play by all of your rules. You have to understand that you have to build your offense around what Brady does and what he does well. If you want him throwing the ball down the field, it's just idiotic. Like, you don't bring in a quarterback like Tom Brady to throw the ball down the field at this stage in his career. So, but A.J. Brown creates yards after the catch. Corey Davis, kind of the same thing. Neither of them are field stretchers, so I would actually give them a slight bump, because I think the team would throw more if Tom Brady were under center. But yeah, I mean, Jason, to your point, I know the whole idea about Brady, if he wins somewhere else, you know, does he prove that it's not just Belichick? But worst case scenario, he goes somewhere else and he falls flat on his face. They don't even make the playoffs. Is that possible? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely possible. I mean, that's the gamble that, you know, he would be safest to just go back to New England, finish it up, try to win a championship. Even if you fail, you're still the GOAT. You go somewhere else, you can take it to the next level in either direction, fall flat on your face, or win a championship. But, you know, with him, you know, throwing to the running back position, we think of James White, but he had all these years, and even with Sony Michel, but like with LeGarrette Blount, where he's basically got the guy he doesn't throw it to, and then the guy he does. So I think this, you know, the team makeup fits Brady pretty well.
Absolutely. Let's move on here to another phenomenal quarterback, Drew Brees. Are we all in agreement that he's staying with the Saints?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right, then the next guy, too, that I just kind of want to knock out of the park here is Dak Prescott. It's hard to see Jerry Jones letting him walk. Are we in agreement that he's getting the franchise tag if he doesn't get a long-term deal there in Dallas?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, perfect. Well, guys, let's transition then to Ryan Tannehill. We mentioned him when talking about Tom Brady. Tannehill played really, really well last year in that Titans scheme. And so now, looking at Ryan Tannehill, is this kind of dependent on what Tom Brady does? If Tom Brady goes back to the Patriots, are they, like, we're locked in with Ryan Tannehill? Tags, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think Tannehill, it's so weird. I mean, the Titans reportedly are turning their attention to Tannehill, trying to work out a long-term deal with him before free agency hits. So we'll see if that happens. Hopefully, I don't want to say hopefully because it creates some drama going into free agency. But if Tannehill were to re-sign with the Titans, I think it would silence a lot of the Tom Brady going elsewhere thing. I know that there's been some rumors about the 49ers getting Tom Brady, and it sounds crazy to me. But some crazy things do happen. But Tannehill, if he does not work out a deal with the Titans, I think the Colts would be the next logical place for him to go, or maybe even the Bucs, just because, you know, he's a guy that can manage a game. We've clearly seen that. And going to the Colts, they're looking for a guy that can manage games. Jacoby Brissett couldn't even quite do that. They're going to surround us some wide receivers. They're a team that's built to win. The Bucs are more in a, I don't want to say rebuild mode, because I don't think Bruce Arians came back to be in rebuild mode, but I do feel like he's a little worried about Jameis. Are they letting him hit free agency? It seems so. So there's so many dominoes here where it's like, if one quarterback signs, it's going to change everything. So I'm really curious. Yates, you mentioned everybody's going to wait, and then once Tom Brady signs, then the dominoes will fall. Is it going to be Ryan Tannehill signs with the Patriots and then all the dominoes fall? You know what I mean? Like, whoever signs where, if Jameis Winston goes to the Chargers, whatever the case is, there's so many things that are going to fall and open up so many opportunities based on where they're signing, because we know the Chargers are not bringing back Phillip Rivers. So he has to go somewhere, right?
Well, that's an interesting conversation, and I can double back to that. It is completely dependent upon the first quarterback signing. You would think that would be Tom Brady, but it was so difficult doing our like free agent predictions with these quarterbacks, because I was like, well, if one of these guys just re-signs with their team, then okay, then we, it's kind of just like chalk down the board, right? Outside of Phillip Rivers. So I think it definitely is interesting. The thing with Rivers is that we saw his play decline a little bit last year. His interceptions, his total like came up, and he was never someone who was like perfectly, you know, never threw interceptions, but we saw those interceptions creep up last year. He now hits the free agent market. The Colts are the popular pick here, but is there a possibility that we get through the free agent, you know, musical chairs here at the quarterback position, and Phillip Rivers just doesn't have a seat? Jason, what do you think about that? Is there a possibility that we could see Phillip Rivers do a free agent tour and then kind of just say, I'm either going to wait this out until the NFL season if there's an injury, or just straight up retire?
Yeah, I think 100%. I mean, right now I would say most people think that the favorite destination is the Colts. He's obviously got connections with their offensive coordinator, who used to, you know, be with the San Diego Chargers. That destination makes sense. I think that if the Colts, you know, if it doesn't work there, I think Phillip Rivers is going to find a booth, and he's going to be talking a lot, and I think he'll excel at that job, and I hope he does. Phillip Rivers hurt me in fantasy this last year, and I haven't been able to get over all of the interceptions. But, I mean, I can't imagine if I was a team looking at Phillip Rivers play. I'm talking film, not how many, just watch him play. I can't imagine being a general manager and saying, this is the quarterback I want to build upon going forward. And so, yeah, I think there's a really, really good shot at him forcibly being retired.
Guys, picture this. A Monday Night Football booth of Joe Tessitore and Phillip Rivers. That'd be really interesting.
Upgrade.
Upgrade, yep. All right, Jameis Winston's the next name on our list here. So Jameis Winston, obviously 30-30. Last season, 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, hit that benchmark. Obviously, incredibly talented, but just can't seem to take care of the football. Do we see Bruce Arians say, all right, I'm going to give it one more year here with Jameis Winston? We saw a lot of the talk when Bruce Arians came on as the head coach, came out of retirement, was that he wanted to work with Jameis Winston. Do we see that patience stick for one more year? They franchise tag him, keep him around for one more year. Tags, what do you think?
Yeah, I do think that he's going to end up staying around. I mean, I just don't see any other quarterback choosing to go to the Bucs right now with the state of their defense. I mean, I know that the run defense improved dramatically and that their secondary looked kind of better down the second half of the season, but I don't think that they're a team that's built to win right now. That offensive line has holes all over the place. It's not a great offensive line. The receivers would be great to work with, but I just don't know if anybody makes this their first choice. You know what I mean? Like, Phillip Rivers would probably go there because his options may be somewhat limited to a couple teams that are in it to win it. But I don't know. I'm going to go the boring way here, and I'm going to say that Jameis Winston's with the Bucs.
Oh, don't say boring. I mean, that Tags, I get the fact that you could say boring, but let's just be honest. Every fantasy owner in the world is praying that Jameis Winston is back with the Bucs. This is like the biggest dream. The one free agent that's out there that matters the most to me as to where he goes is I want Jameis Winston back on the Bucs because I can rely on a smorgasbord of fantasy. Look, the wide receivers don't get deducted for their interceptions of their quarterback. They just get more yards and more yards and more yards as they come back from giant deficits. So, yeah, I desperately want him to be back with the Bucs. I think the Bucs are the only other destination for Phillip Rivers. Bruce Arians, you know, has that history, brought in an older Carson Palmer and, you know, rejuvenated his career. I think this is a little bit too older, but, you know, Tags alluded to this earlier. Bruce Arians did not come in to rebuild. He is way too old. He's coming in to, he's going to be a coach for another 3 or 4 years. Like, that's it. So he's not wanting to set up his successor for success. He wants to go out and try to win a Super Bowl. So maybe he thinks Phillip Rivers can get that done. But it'd just be so ironic to replace Jameis Winston because he throws too many interceptions. And then you go get Phillip Rivers who throws too many interceptions.
Right, exactly. Yeah, for me, that Jameis Winston with the Bucs makes a ton of sense for another year. And again, just like Jason alluded to, that's kind of what I want as a Chris Godwin dynasty owner. I really want Jameis Winston back. So, all right, guys, with the quarterback position, the only other name that I wanted to bring up here was Teddy Bridgewater. Again, I alluded to it earlier that this is more like there may be more quarterbacks here than there are spots. And this carries a lot of weight, too, especially looking at the incoming draft class. So there could be a possibility that we see in the NFL draft, we see some of these quarterbacks go a lot later than we think they're going to because there just aren't the landing spots for them. So with Teddy Bridgewater, Tags, I just wanted to get your thoughts here really quick. What kind of destination makes the most sense for Bridgewater? He deserves to be a starting quarterback. I believe that. Do you kind of think the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, there's the teams that kind of strike me as like the Bears And I don't think the Bears are going to do this just because I don't think the Bears. Here's the thing. Ryan Pace is not going to want to create competition for Mitch Trubisky. And the reason is because it's going to cost him his job. His job is tied to him. And so he's almost hoping to get one more year out of Mitch to see if he can turn the tables here. But if you think about like Marcus Mariota, right, he had some of those question marks coming into 2019 and they signed Ryan Tannehill to a somewhat cheap contract. That's why I don't know if Bridgewater makes it to Chicago, because I don't think his contract will be cheap enough. But we could see Bridgewater go to some place like the Chargers. That would actually make a whole lot of sense because that's a team that can win now. That defense is certainly built to win now. They have some receivers for him. Their offensive line might not be great. They have Tyrod Taylor. They can create an offense. I don't want to say similar because Teddy's not as mobile as he used to be, but the Bears are one of those teams that Marcus Mariota, maybe they find a guy that isn't a starter necessarily anymore, but a guy that did have hope at some point. And Bridgewater kind of makes sense for that.
Yeah, Jason, with Teddy Bridgewater, any thoughts there on where he could end up?
I think he'll end up with a backup job. They've already got Tyrod for the Chargers. They've, got, unfortunately, Trubisky for the Bears. I don't think he fits the system of Bruce Arians and the downfield field-stretching approach for the Bucs. So I think he ends up, unfortunately for him, it feels so bad for the dude, with a backup job. And if he ends up with a backup job where I want him, it's just back with the Saints. Like, wait one more year. It's like, I know you thought maybe this would be the year, but just do it again. And, maybe then you can take over the reins when Drew Brees leaves. Otherwise, the Bears would be phenomenal for the Bears.
Yeah, the only other destination I wanted to throw out with Teddy Bridgewater is potentially Carolina, depending on Cam Newton's health. We could see Teddy Bridgewater go there if Cam Newton isn't fully ready to go, and he could be a really good option there for guys like DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. All right, guys, let's wrap this up here with tight ends. Now, some of the lower tier names that I'm just going to mention really quick before we get to the top guys: Tyler Eifert, Jordan Reed. I don't really think Jordan Reed's going to even play another snap in the NFL. He shouldn't, with his concussion history. Jason Witten, he shouldn't have come back. Darren Fells obviously just got the contract. So, but let's move to some of these top tier guys. Hunter Henry is the name that I wanted to start the conversation with. Tags, do we see Hunter Henry get franchise tagged? That's kind of that's the main thing that we need to figure out first before we can talk about where he could end up.
Yes, there reportedly is that they're going to put the franchise tag on him if they can't work out a long-term extension. And I think a lot of teams are kind of waiting for the CBA to take place before they do anything. I think some players are waiting on that as well. So, but by all accounts, from what I've heard, I looked into this pretty deep. It seems that the Chargers are dead set on using the franchise tag with him.
Cool. So, Jason, if for some reason they decide to pull that franchise tag, what are a couple destinations that make sense for Hunter Henry?
If they pull the franchise tag and don't put it on him, which I do expect them to put it on him, I think the most interesting landing spot to me would be the Colts. They have the money to do it. They, Frank Reich utilizes tight ends as good as anyone in his system. They hate Eric Ebron. He is gone, and there's the potential that it could be Phillip Rivers alongside Hunter Henry. So I love him going to the Colts if he were not franchise tagged, which he probably will be by Monday.
Yeah, one of the guys who isn't going to be franchise tagged and will be allowed to hit the free agent market is Austin Hooper from Atlanta. So, Jason, I'll send it right back to you. Austin Hooper here, where are we looking for him to sign this offseason?
I like Chicago. I think this is a team that's shown a little bit of interest. They tried, as soon as Nagy came over, they tried to go out and get that splashy tight end signing with Trey Burton. Hasn't worked out. Last year, they were so injured, and really the last couple years at tight end, that even though that is such a crucial part of what this team system wants to utilize, that Cordarrelle Patterson was asking to play tight end because they didn't have anybody. So I think this would be a help to Trubisky, a help to Nagy, a good spot for Hooper, and they want him. So that's where I've got him going.
Tags, what about you?
I have him going to the Patriots. He's the one that makes the sense for me because Hunter Henry, I think, is staying place. I think Eric Ebron, I'm fairly certain that Eric Ebron is not going to fit what Bill Belichick wants. He wants a tight end that can do both things. He can block and run routes, and Eric Ebron can't block. And even when he does run routes, he drops passes all over the field. So I am not a big fan of people mocking or saying that Eric Ebron is going to go to the Patriots. I just don't think it fits what they want. I think Austin Hooper is a guy that can walk in, and produce for them right away at the tight end position. Give Tom Brady one of those weapons. Again, we know that tight ends, when they come into the league, they do not produce right away. You know, TJ Hockenson was a guy that people were talking about, and obviously he went extremely high in the draft, and he walks in, and he wasn't able to produce like a lot of people thought he would his rookie year. Noah Fant was extremely inconsistent. You just can't rely on young tight ends to produce right away, and if Tom Brady is going to stay in New England like I think he's going to, they need to go out and get him someone in free agency at the tight end position. So Austin Hooper to the Patriots makes a lot of sense for me.
If Austin Hooper does sign with the Patriots, is he a top five tight end for 2020?
Borderline. I don't know if I would say yes, but I would say top eight for sure. Maybe top six. I don't know if I'd go top five, though.
Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I would put him top five. I've spent too long doubting Austin Hooper, and this last year he showed that he's got it. And if he were to go to a team and be in a system that wants to utilize that, if they've got a good enough piece, Austin Hooper, I believe in him now. I think I owe him, you know, some respect, and he's gonna get he's gonna go there only to succeed, and he's gonna get a big contract that requires volume go his way.
Yeah, Austin Hooper missed a couple games last year, but he was the tight end one for the majority of the season. People forget that. He was playing exceptionally well. All right, the last name here before we get out of here is Eric Ebron. Tags, you talked a little bit about him, so I'm just going to send it right back to you. You have an interesting destination in your free agency primer. Where do you see Eric Ebron landing?
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of teams that are going to be interested in Eric Ebron. He's a one-way tight end. You need it. I have the Steelers as my prediction because the Steelers are a team that's kind of strapped for cash. They're going to need to find some value out there at the tight end position. Vance McDonald's not it. They clearly wanted an athletic tight end. Eric Ebron is that. That's a team built to win right now, and they could use a receiver like Ebron, I guess. The Bears are another team to watch, but I mean, they're already paying Trey Burton a lot of money, and I just don't think that they could take on another big tight end contract for two guys that essentially play the same position. So the Steelers are my pick for Eric Ebron.
Jason, how about you with Eric Ebron there?
I've got the Packers. I mean, the Packers need to get Aaron Rodgers another receiving option, and that's what he is. Jimmy Graham, they're going to give the boot to. They obviously brought him in thinking he could be more than he was, and I think Eric Ebron could do some solid work there. He's obviously been a guy who can, a couple years ago, double-digit touchdowns. You give him Aaron Rodgers, and he could really help the Packers and Rodgers.
Jason, let's set the line there with Eric Ebron to the Packers. If he does end up there, is he a top 10 tight end for 2020?
Yeah, I think he's a top 10 is so easy to achieve. Like, when you say a top 10 running back, that's so difficult. And, you know, you look at last year or the year before last year now, when Trey Burton was this gigantic bust, everybody was hyped on him. I believe he was the tight end 7. It was, but he was still sucked. I mean, being a top 10 tight end means nothing. So, yeah, I think that's a good line for him because tight ends usually in the back half of the top 10, it's about touchdowns. And if you put him on the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, I'm probably going to set the over-under at least to 8 on touchdowns. And if he gets 8 or north, he will end up as a top 10 tight end.
Absolutely. That's really interesting that you mentioned that too, and I'm glad that you did, because it's important to remember that if we see Eric Ebron land in, you know, a spot like the Steelers or the Packers, our initial gut reaction might be like, oh, I don't want any part of him. But yet he could be of value in dynasty leagues particularly, or even into next year, just based on the tight end landscape and the fact that this tight end draft class isn't super talented or super deep. So it's super interesting to remember. Well, guys, that's all the time that we have for today. Jason, thanks for coming on to talk through some of these free agents, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Had a lot of fun. And now next week we'll get to see how we're wrong across the board.
Yep, completely. Completely. Well, hey, remember to follow Jason on Twitter at JasonFFL. You can find Mike and I on Twitter as well at KyleYNFL and at MikeTaglierNFL. For Jason and Tags, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your moves are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand, and stirring up trouble.
open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.